If we fail to see clearly, we will not be able to live powerfully. I regret to inform some of you again, the reason we lack power in our lives is found right here, because we fail to see clearly. We have not been looking to the cross. We have not been looking to the Savior. We have not been rehearsing the gospel. We have not been thinking on our reward. We've been filled with self-pity, self-pride. We've been filled with self, and our eyes go off of Christ and onto us. When our eyes go onto us, that leads to depression. But when our eyes are on Christ and we see the reward, it brings clarity, listen, and it brings conviction.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. Thanks again for tuning us in here. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and with me in our studios is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. Hey, if you've been joining us for a little while, you know that we're in the middle of a series entitled, Oh, the Blood. In fact, today is the last message in our series. It's been a unique series designed to bolster our faith as we've been walking through these great passages in the book of Hebrews in chapters 9 and 11 and seeing the work of Christ on our behalf. Sensing the passion of his love for us and also finding our own hearts filled with passion and love for him. Well, today's passage takes us to the end of our series, as I said, and we're going to Oh, the Blood and looking at the great reward ahead of us. Right, Robbie?
Yeah, it's such a great way to end this series. Been so profound in truth and theology and doctrine. And I just suspect a lot of you, and maybe if you've been tracking with us in the series, maybe never heard it in this way before, maybe just never come across this teaching in God's Word. We want to encourage you too, if you would like to get a copy of the series or to allow yourself to be reinforced in this truth, and Craig will let you know how to do that in just a few moments. But we want to say this, and why the Lord is speaking to you, don't waste it. Take it, learn it, and let it impact your heart. And again, the way this ends today within Hebrews 10, I love it, saying at the root and the foundation of the gospel, we look now to the reward. It's okay, loved ones, to look for the reward. You understand that, right? It's okay to imagine the glories of heaven. It's okay. In fact, not just okay, it's expected in God's word that we will consider and dream of the day, the place that Jesus has prepared for us, that our citizenship is in heaven, for the glory that awaits us, that a Christ in us is the hope of glory, that we hold within us a better and abiding possession, again, only found in Jesus Christ. So again, not only okay, expected, right, and beautiful to imagine all that will be in our treasure, our inheritance as children of God who await that day. May God's word encourage you greatly as we wrap up this series today.
All right, and as Robbie has said, if you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's LIGHT.ca. And hey, while you're there, drop us a note. Let us know what God's been doing in your heart through this series. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. All right, our last message comes to us today in this series, and it's entitled, Oh, the Blood, a Better Reward. Here now is Pastor Robbie.
Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Now, reading these two verses, I saw four powerful truths that relate to the theological understanding of our reward. And in my mind that loves alliteration, all these words just happen to start with the letter C, all right? So don't blame me for that, it's just the way my mind works. And so I saw four C words that unpack the truth of what it means to live for our reward. So let's start with the most important word that starts with the letter C is this, it's clarity. Notice, as it relates to our reward, we must have clarity. Again, verse 34 says, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. So this phrase is bringing all the other applications together. All the other behaviors that this church is exhibiting are glued to this phrase, since you knew that you had a better reward. And loved ones, this is the secret to the Christian life, to the power of the Christian life. Clarity of mind leading to clarity of conviction. Since you knew what? That we have a better possession, that we had an abiding possession. Loved ones, this is so important. If we fail to see clearly, we will not be able to live powerfully. If we fail to see clearly, we will not be able to live powerfully. I regret to inform some of you again, the reason we lack power in our lives is found right here, because we fail to see clearly. We have not been looking to the cross. We have not been looking to the Savior. We have not been rehearsing the gospel. We have not been thinking on our reward. We've been filled with self-pity, self-pride. We've been filled with self, and our eyes go off of Christ and onto us. When our eyes go onto us, that leads to depression. But when our eyes are on Christ and we see the reward, it brings clarity, listen, and it brings conviction. Paul Tripp talked about this principle of eternal truth so well. I've used this once before, I think, and I had to use it again. It's so good. Here's what Paul Tripp says. He says, because we live, often we live as this world is all there is, we are perennially demanding and disappointed, thinking that we have been dealt a particularly difficult hand. We envy the people around us who appear to have what we don't. We find it hard to celebrate the success of others. With the assumption that this is our final destination, we constantly want more and better. See, that's it right there. Because of the assumption that this is our final destination, that's the error, that's the fail. That's the complete unbiblical way to live. He goes on, because we think this is our final destination, we're never able to say, I have enough. We possess too much, eat too much, spend too much, dream too much, demand too much, complain too much, expect too much, keep score too much, we ask too much, and we are disappointed too much. Now, here's the phrase that summarizes it all right here. He says, we don't need a better now. Listen. We don't need a better now. We need forever. We need our reward. We need our hope to reshape our here and now. That phrase is worth taking to the bank right there. Let me say it another way. The present does not shape our future. It's our future, our reward, that must shape our present. That's the call of the Christian life. The reality of our future in Christ must determine our present. If we let the present become everything, it's going to ruin our future. It's certainly going to ruin our present. And where does this come from? Listen, clarity. Clarity is so powerful, because where there isn't clarity, there's confusion. But where there is clarity, why do I live? Who am I? How should I be? What's my reality? What's my guaranteed future? That brings conviction. When you see clearly, you walk clearly, you believe clearly, you live clearly and with conviction. This is the most important first C word, clarity. And it leads to the second, which is this, compassion. Compassion. Look at verse 34 now. For you had compassion on those in prison. What a beautiful aspect of living with clarity. Clearly seeing our reward should result in compassion within community. The believers here under tremendous persecution were reaching out to fellow brothers and sisters who were imprisoned for the gospel. And they were providing for them practically with food and water and clothing. And they came alongside them because they saw clearly. Therefore, as they saw clearly, they were filled with compassion. So the more we see the reward of what is, the more we live for what matters. Ready? Love. Love for God and love for others. That's why I love this church so much. I love this church at this time of year as much as ever, because there are so many acts of compassion and love being distributed through this facility and through this ministry. Now, many of these compassion acts are within programs, but what I know is there are hundreds and hundreds of acts of love and compassion occurring right now, especially that are unseen. You kind of walk through certain rooms and even kind of you're around the people and you can just You can just pick up a fragrance of love and a fragrance of compassion. You can't see it, but you know it's there. And you know people are subtly and humbly walking around blessing, 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 blessing hundreds of different ways, again, for the glory of the Lord. And that is so exciting. And that's the way it should be. And loved ones, you're right here and you've been sitting in a place where you've just wanting to receive all the love, but not give the love. It's not too late. Of course, it's never too late. And you can act even now before Christmas or after Christmas, whatever it is. You can choose to put yourself before the Lord and saying, if I truly see clearly, I'm going to move with compassion. Could be the smallest thing, could be a great thing, could be a big thing, could be a very generous thing. But when you're filled with clarity and love, you desire to see compassion flow through your life because that's what Christ does. Is God leading you to compassion? See, if you're focused on the world, all you want is more stuff for self. If you focus on Christ, you're like, what's the point of gathering earthly treasures where moth and rust destroy when I can gather heavenly treasures that will be with me forever? Clarity leads to compassion, leads to this. The third C I see within these verses is carefree. Carefree. Now, for some of you, this word's going to bother you. Carefree. Carefree, Robbie. I'm not carefree. I'm care imprisoned. I'm care in debt. I'm care in bondage. I'm anxiety riddle. I'm care enslaved. Don't talk to me about carefree. Take it easier, right? I'm just the messenger, all right? All right? And don't shoot the messenger, but look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 34, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. That's one of my favorite verses in this entire chapter. Favorite phrases. Isn't that a beautiful gospel proclaiming phrase? Read that carefully. It's not that they just accepted the plundering of their property. Oh, I'm not happy about it, but you know, kind of is what it is. It says they joyfully accepted the plundering of their property. Wow. Now this, loved ones, is a test of the heart. This is a wonderful test of where your heart and my heart really is. Let's do a self-exam. Here's the main question. How do you react when a physical possession of yours, and especially one that you might take great love in, is either taken from you, ruined before you, or plundered from you? How do you react when your stuff is lost, when your stuff is taken? How do you react, honestly? How do you react? Do you, men, when you get your new car, you're so excited about this car and this thing you've been wanting to get for so long, and then your child comes up with their bike with their handle exposed on it and accidentally runs it right at the side of the car, putting a massive scratch all down the... Do you joyfully respond in that situation? Do you? Do I? When you go to purchase tickets for an exciting event and you can't wait to go and you show up at the door and you find out you were scammed on the internet and your tickets are worth nothing. You've been robbed, essentially. Do you joyfully respond in that moment? When you come home and you find out the sections of your home and you've been away have either been, weather has been destroying it, or somehow you have been taken advantage of or even robbed. We walk into those situations, and do we actually respond joyfully in light of things that have happened to us? When you have a favorite item of clothing and something devastating happens to that via a spill, do you joyfully respond to these situations where things that we physically can touch and love are taken from us? Is our response joy? Well, you can answer that before the Lord, but here's the truth that we're seeing within this, is the more your vision is filled with a heavenly reward, the less you care for earthly treasure. And that's just a fact. The more your vision is filled with the rewards of heaven, the less you care for earthly treasure. Aren't you like me? Aren't you like me, where just deep down you just wish you could get to the point where you literally, like, legitimately care not for things of the earth? Wouldn't that be so powerful and so free? But I have seen in my life, it's happening little bit by little bit, where you used to react emotionally to certain situations, but now you see, and you realize, I had a saint say to me this week in light of certain contexts like this, and she said to me, it's only money. It's only money. There are a few people who can say that. But that's awesome. And it's true. And it's true. The more you see your reward in heaven, everything else is counted as loss. But don't miss, how are they like that? How could they joyfully respond to the plundering of their property? It's because they could see clearly. That's why. That's the secret, loved ones. That's the secret. They saw the reward. So compared to the reward, the earthly property was nothing. So they can respond in joy in response to the life in Christ and living for the gospel. Take it. In the end, it means nothing. Powerful living for Jesus Christ and not impossible for you and I. Very possible through lives that want him more than we want ourselves or want our stuff. That's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Clarity, compassion, even carefree, and fourthly this, confidence. Confidence. Look at verse 35. It says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great, tell me, I couldn't hear you, which has a great reward. Yes, so don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Listen. If you know that you hold within you the greatest treasure ever granted, that will never be diminished, never be taken, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, 1 Peter 1:4. We don't hold a treasure that someone come up to us and steal, hey, you took my treasure. We hold something within us that can never be taken from us, ever, ever. So tell me, when you know you hold the greatest treasure in the history of the world, and it is yours forever and ever and ever, does that give you confidence? The answer should be yes. Yes, it gives me incredible confidence. All the things I try to hold on to the earth, so fleeting, and they leave my hand so often. But my reality in Christ is, and so the author says, do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw away the confidence, which is your great reward. And if you are saved in Jesus Christ, if you have believed in him, this is your treasure and this is your truth. You have a confidence that you are to cling to. Loved ones, this is why your confidence cannot be your intellect, your job, your success, your family. Your confidence can't be your bank account or your giftedness or your friends or your stuff. All that stuff lets you down. Your confidence must be the reward that is found only in the Savior, in the Savior. And we're going to see in just a second here, the text is going to tell us, listen, he's returning soon. So please understand, okay? The moment Jesus Christ returns, the car keys, you drop them. They don't mean anything anymore. That car you love so much, the moment he returns, drop car keys. Ladies, the moment Jesus Christ returns, you're doing your makeup, you drop it. You drop it. Makeup means nothing in light of eternity. Vanity means nothing in light of eternity. The moment Jesus Christ returns, you're holding your golf club, you're going to drop it. You're not going to finish the hole and close off the putt. You're not going to do that, man. You're just going to stop and drop and be like, the moment Jesus Christ returns, your bank card, see ya. Doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter if you have millions or nothing. The moment Jesus Christ returns, the only thing that matters, are you for him or against him? Do you love him or despise him? So here's the thing I try to tell myself all the time. Since I first got saved, I was so amazed with that I don't have to live for the world anymore. I was so struck when I first got saved, and I continue to be this way the whole time. I am so in awe of the fact that all the lies of the world, all the pressures of the world, all the things I was taught in university, all the things going through, all the things my friends were living for, it doesn't mean anything. I was like, yes. The world is a lie. It's all a sham. Who cares about that? And so my challenge to myself is, if that is true for my future, that the moment Christ returns, all those things are dropped, then why not try to live like that now? The car keys aren't inherently evil unless you worship them. The makeup isn't inherently evil unless you worship it. The golf club's not inherently evil unless you make it everything. But the reality is, the reason we don't worship these things is when we realize we see the reward, and when Christ returns, they're going to have no value anyways. This is just called wisdom. But it's amazing how few believers seem to live this stuff out. But we can. Today's a new day. God's speaking to you, the truth that's coming in right now, the excitement of seeing the reward. But I want you to see, since you knew, since you knew, since you knew. That's the power of the phrase right there. Since you knew. See, when you know, then everything changes. And that's what God's calling us to do again, to know the reality. It's my every confidence. And this is why, again, point number three, then we see our reward. It's my call to endure. My reward is my call to endure. Look at verse 36. For you have need of endurance. And again, that phrase is for some of you today, right now. You came to hear that verse right there, that phrase. Your life, where you are, you're struggling, you're tempted to give up, and God says to you today, you have need of endurance because he loves you so much. He says, my child, I'm with you. Listen, listen. He's like, I'm coming. Don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. You see, you endure because of what is promised. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, and my righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, God says, my soul has no pleasure in him. The reward is coming. Christ is coming. Verse 37 is a revised quote from Habakkuk 2. And in this context, it speaks of the return of Christ, the return of the king. So that's why we need endurance. Yet a little while, he will come, loved ones, a little while. The Bible's telling us this again. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, 1,000 years like a day. It hasn't been a long time for God. And it won't be a long time the moment, again, that trumpet sounds. God came. And then I think he came once, he's coming again. He came once. And then he ascended, as my wife said to our kids, listen, kids, understand. He came once as a humble servant child king, but he will return as a conquering king. Came once, he's going to come again, and it's going to come soon. What are we living for? That's why we endure. This is why we endure. This is why we don't give up. There's too much to live for. You're tempted to give up. Don't. God says, no, my child, endure. Yet a little while, the coming one will come, will not delay. He will not delay. When you have done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. And notice in verse 38, how do we do this? By faith. By believing, especially when we cannot see physically, we must see spiritually. Why do we endure our reward? How do we endure by faith? And whom do we endure? Christ. Loved ones, do not give up. Listen. As F.B. Meyer said, do not miss the harvest of your tears. Do not miss the harvest of your tears. Do not give up in despair. Press on by faith, and you will see the harvest of your tears. And what I love about this, and this is so true, any moment now, Jesus Christ will return. And every single one of us who are genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, in some way this will happen, Jesus Christ will address you personally. He will look at you. He will smile at you. His arms will embrace you. He will hug you. He will love you. Listen, he will perfect you. Every single child here today, saved in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Savior of the world, the Lord of the universe, fully God and fully man, in the form of a man still with scars seen. Listen, he will come up to you and he will personally greet you. He will personally embrace you. He will personally love you. Just think about that. Just think about that. The Son of God, my Savior, embracing me. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. It's one of these things that the enemy tries to say, well, I mean, maybe it won't happen. And is it really going to be like that? And it's like, you shut up, Satan. Like, literally, you shut up because it is going to happen. This isn't like, oh, I hope it works out this way. No. Now, I will see my Savior face to face, and all my sin will be gone, and all my hurt removed, and all my sorrow, and all my struggle with temptation. It's all gone. And the light of the glory of my Savior. And he's going to love you that day. He's going to love you perfectly that day. It's coming soon. It's coming soon. Just think about that. When you see this way, it makes you want to live for what matters. And it makes you want to not give up, because that day is going to be pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. And that's why point number four is we look to the reward as this. There's no turning back, loved ones. There's no turning back. I mean, just briefly here, look at verse 39. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed. See what he's doing right there? So in verse 38, the righteous live by faith, but those without faith, they do shrink back. And God says, I never knew you. You didn't believe in me. You rejected the gospel. But he quickly differentiates between the believers and unbelievers. And he says, but we are not those who shrink back. We are not those who are destroyed, but we are those who have faith. Who have faith in the midst of hard struggle. We have faith in the midst of sufferings. We have faith in the midst of persecution. We have faith in the midst of our discouragement. We have faith in the midst of the difficult times of this life because our faith is not in self. Our faith is in Christ. Our faith is in reward. And therefore, we do not shrink back, but we preserve our souls. You see that, loved ones? Faith is so powerful because faith in Jesus Christ means we're washed and cleansed and redeemed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, our souls are forever preserved in him. That's the power of the seed of faith. Even a seed of faith the size of a mustard seed, when it's planted in the soil of Jesus Christ, it will never die, never be diminished, never grow old, and never cease to bear fruit all the way into heaven and eternity and beyond. That is the reality of faith that is found in Jesus Christ. And that is why we trust in him, because faith preserves our very souls, all because of the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ found through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's also why, loved ones, then I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. Loved ones, today, look at him again. Stare at him. Love him. Talk to him. Tell him how great he is. Let your mind be renewed in your hope. See your reward. Imagine glory. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Listen. And when you see that, there's no time to turn back. There's no way you can turn back. You've decided to follow Christ. He has called you and set you free. There's only one person to live for, only one reward that we desire to seek. And that's what spurs us on, because what God has started, he will finish. Faith preserves our souls. No turning back. No turning back.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca.
Hey, Robbie Simons here. Listen, as we wrap up another year here at Live in the Light, you need to know that your support for this ministry is so appreciated and welcomed. You know, our theme verse for Live in the Light is that one time you were in darkness, but now you are light. So we are to walk as though we are children of light from Ephesians chapter 5. That's really what we're seeking to do. And so many people from darkness to light by the power of God's word. Hey, would you just take a moment right now again from me to you? Would you stop and consider, and would you honestly pray about how the Lord might be leading you if you've been encouraged and you've been discipled and you've been growing in the Lord this past year, that you would help us to continue to be on air in this way and having an impact in a day where truth is so ever needed. So if God is leading you right now to support Live in the Light, there's a few ways that you can do that. Number one, you can become a power partner. That's a monthly contributor to the ministry. We are so thankful for those who have made that decision to do that. You can also go on our website at liveinthelight.ca. All the information will be there, or you can call us at 1-844-225-4448. That is 1-844-225-4448. Again, bless you for taking this seriously and helping us continue to minister to hundreds and hundreds of people with the light and the love and the truth of Jesus Christ. You are so loved.
That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.